Good evening. If you would, please join with me in turning to the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, Proverbs chapter 30. Tonight, we're going to begin looking at verses 11 through 14. We'll continue this next week, but we begin reading at verse 11, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. The Word of God says this: there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth. There are those, how lofty are their eyes, how high their eyelids lift. There are those whose teeth are swords, whose fangs are knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, the needy from among mankind. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Lord, I trust that for many in this room today has been a long day, and perhaps this week to this point has felt like a full week's worth, though we're just halfway through. And so I pray that tonight would be a night of refreshment for us. I pray that as we open your word together, Lord, you might work in our minds and hearts to encourage us and to refresh us with your truth, with your word. Lord, I don't doubt that there are also very significant needs represented in this room. And I just am so grateful that for whatever it is that we need, the answer is found in your Son, and the answer is found in your all-sufficient Word. And so I pray that tonight, as your word is taught, even though it be simple, even though it is not complicated, I pray that it would be like a salve, a balm that just finds its perfect place as it's applied to the needs in our lives by you. Lord, I also pray for anyone in this room who doesn't know your Son, and we ask that even tonight might be a saving night, that someone would come to faith in Jesus and be delivered from their bondage and brought into life and light in Him. We will thank you for the things that you do this next hour in our hearts and in our life. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth. There are those, how lofty are their eyes, how high their eyelids lift. There are those whose teeth are swords, whose fangs are knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, the needy from among mankind. You notice at the head of each of these descriptions, in the ESV it reads, there are those. In the New American Standard it says, there's a kind of man. The Holman Christian Standard Bible translates it, there is a generation. The Hebrew word door is the word. There's a kind of, or there is. It's not really there in the verse. It's just a generation. Four pictures of a kind of people, a kind of person. The study note for the NET Bible captures the sense when it says this. This is a series of denunciations of things that are dangerous in society without mentioning specific punishments or prescriptions. The word generation, as used in this passage, refers to a class or group of people. A series of denunciations of things that are dangerous in society. That's what these four descriptions are. They describe a kind of person, four manifestations of a kind of person. That is a wicked person. A person who lives out wicked ways. And when these wicked ways begin to spread in a society, when they become commonplace in a society, when you see large groups of people manifesting this kind of behavior, then you know you are witnessing a society in decay. You are witnessing a society wherein is being experienced a moral freefall. And we don't need just to think about society at large. We need to narrow this down even to the church, to our families. These kinds of behaviors in the life of a church would say something about the spiritual condition of that church. These kinds of behaviors in your family would point to a great need that needs to be addressed there in the context of your family. If these things are true of you, if these things are true of you as an individual, or if these things are true of someone you love, well, the need ought to be obvious. The need is either salvation or repentance. Repentance would be involved in both, turning from your lost condition to trust in Christ and be saved and therefore have a heart granted to you that desires to live differently than this. Or if you know Christ, then when you see these kinds of behaviors being manifested in your life, it ought to grieve your heart. And it ought to awaken you to the need to turn from your sin, to confess it as sin, and to follow Jesus afresh and anew. Tonight, I want us just to focus on the first one that's mentioned, verse 11. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. This is the first wicked way that's described for us, the way of dishonoring parents. The two parts of verse 11 describe the same reality. To curse one's father is the same attitude as to refuse to bless your mother. In both cases, what is absent is the kind of respect that a godly person gives to parents. You know this, I just want to remind you. People who believe God honor their parents. People who believe God, people who have genuine faith in the true and living God and believe the word of their God, they honor their parents. Because in the case of those who've been exposed to the scriptures, and certainly in the life of Israel that would have been true, but it's just as true of us tonight, for those who've been exposed to the scriptures, to refuse to honor your parents is a wicked unbelief toward the words of God. Because God has spoken in very straightforward, sobering, unmistakable terms about the need to honor your parents. Just listen to a sample of God's commands on this subject. This is no small subject in the Word of God. Have you ever taken the time just to study the command to honor your parents to see how pervasive it is throughout the Scriptures? Here's just a sampling. We begin with Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Honor your father and your mother. And there's blessing associated with it. There's a promise of blessing, that your days may be long in the land. Exodus 21, verse 17. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. That's sobering, isn't it? That points to the seriousness of this command. I mean, God wants us to understand this is serious. To curse your father or mother was worthy of the death penalty under the old covenant. Leviticus 20, verse 9. For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. Deuteronomy 27, verse 16. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. I mean, the entire community is to acknowledge this, to agree with this. Cursed is anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. Later on in the life of the nation, as the prophet Ezekiel is used by the Lord to address sinful behavior, specifically addressing the city of Jerusalem. The Lord comes to Ezekiel, and here's what we read, Ezekiel 22, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, And you, son of man, will you judge the bloody city? Then declare to her all her abominations. You shall say, Thus says the Lord God, a city that sheds blood in her midst, so that her time may come, and that makes idols to defile herself. You have become guilty by the blood that you have shed and defiled by the idols that you have made, and you have brought your days near. The appointed time of your years has come. Therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all the countries. Those who are near and those who are far from you will mock you. Your name is defiled. You are full of tumult. Behold, the princes of Israel in you, everyone according to his power, have been bent on shedding blood. Next statement. Father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The sojourner suffers extortion in your midst. The fatherless and the widow are wronged in you. I mean, the Lord is addressing the serious sins of the city over and over again, referencing bloodshed. And in the midst of it is that word, father and mother are treated with contempt in your midst. You see, this is a window into the wickedness of this people, how they treat their parents and their wicked unbelief toward God, because God's word is so clear on this. Later on, or earlier, actually, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 20, it says, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. And then, as you know, this is certainly taught in the New Testament. Ephesians 6, 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. There are those who curse their fathers. There's a generation that would curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. When you see this spreading through a culture, you know that you're witnessing moral decay. Now, there are two questions I want us to think about tonight as we reflect on this 11th verse. The first one is this. Why do you think there is such an emphasis in the Word of God on respecting parents? It's a question we ought to ask, don't you think? I mean, when the Lord emphasizes something over and over and over again, we want to stop and we want to ask, why? Why is this so important to you, Lord? Why such an emphasis on our honoring our parents and respecting our parents? Why? Well, let me offer a few reasons. First of all, respect for parents is respect for God. Respect for parents is respect for our Creator. He is the one who made us as He has made us, who has set in motion the way that procreation happens. He's the one who ordained that we would have parents, that we would have families as we have them. He's the one who ordained the structures that make up family life, the structures of human authority. And He is the one who has told us to respect those structures, to respect our parents. So to disrespect our parents is to disrespect Him. Respect the authority of our parents is to respect the authority of God. A second reason we can mention is, as the family goes, an entire society goes. You see, when the authority structures of the family are cast aside, then you know this, watch what happens. There is chaos throughout the culture as a whole. And not only are you witnessing chaos in a culture where there's chaos in the family unit, there's chaos throughout the culture. Not only are you witnessing chaos, but you're also witnessing at the very same time disregard for God and for His Word throughout that society. When you see disregard for God's authority in the family, you see it spread throughout the culture. As the family unit breaks down, the society breaks down. We know that very well. We see it in our own country, evidence of it all around us. Third reason we can mention is because respect for parents has in it a whole world of other attitudes. When God commands us to respect, to honor our parents, do you understand? I know you do, but I want to remind you, there's a whole set of attitudes contained in respect for that very command. Think about it. What is wrapped up? What kinds of attitudes are being put on display in a person's life who would honor their parents? Now, obedience to parents, that's for childhood. The honor of our parents, that's for a lifetime. Let's be clear. We're not talking just to children in the room tonight. We're talking to all of us. We're commanded by God to honor our parents. That's a lifetime commitment. What attitudes are wrapped up in respect for God's command to us on that matter? Well, the first one, the most obvious one, is respect for parents flows from faith. It evidences the fact that you believe in the true God, that you have a knowledge of the true God. He knows you. You have fellowship with Him. It reflects the fact that His words are weighty to you. He has commanded you to honor your parents, and you hear Him, and you believe Him, and you desire to obey Him. So wrapped up in respect for parents is genuine faith. Hand in hand with that, and wherever you have genuine faith, you have the presence of humility. To respect anyone is a matter of humility. Where there's pride, what you're most concerned about is that you would be respected. But where there's humility, there's the understanding that there is respect that is owed to others. And you have a desire in a humble heart to demonstrate that respect that God calls for. So the only way you're ever going to honor your parents is when the Lord has produced in you a humble heart that understands the importance of things like honor and respect towards someone else. And you, God has assigned this to you. He's assigned to you this task of honoring your parents. And so with a humble heart, that's what you desire to do. Respect also flows from an attitude of gratefulness. Gratefulness. And the Lord gives us this in very specific terms in Proverbs 23, verse 22, when he puts it to us this way: listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Do you see how the Lord takes us from our young years to our older years? He reminds us, listen, who explains, from the human point of view, who explains your existence? How did you get here? Who gave you life? And then when he says to not despise your mother when she's old, he makes you remember, doesn't he? There was a time she wasn't old. When she gave birth to you, when she nurtured you, when she cared for you, when you were at the mercy of your parents' faithful love and care for your life, have you forgotten that now that they're in their older years? Does that mean nothing to you now? They loved you. They sacrificed for you. They took care of you. Now I wonder, what kind of attitude should you have toward them in response to that kind of goodness? To respect your parents is a matter of remembering your blessings. It's a matter of gratefulness. And you know, even if you didn't have the greatest set of parents, it's still true that God ordained that they would be the ones through whom you came into this world, so that His command still stands. What else does this respect flow out of? It flows out of an attitude of reverence. Specifically, reverence for God and His Word. I've mentioned it several different ways, but underscore it with the thought that, look, if God's words have weight with me, if I reverence Him, if I revere Him, then this command has to matter to me. I don't know if you've been noticing this with the verses I've read. Let me give you another example. Leviticus 19, verse 32 says this. And by the way, let me just take a step back and say this. you know, this attitude toward parents, it sort of gets broadened out in Scripture, where we are taught not only to honor our parents, but to honor the aged. We're taught to have respect for age. We're taught to have respect for experience. We're taught to have respect for wisdom that is gained through experience. We're taught that. And all this requires, though, a heart that is humble, that does believe, that is grateful, and that does reverence God. Because listen to Leviticus 19:32. You shall stand before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. And you shall fear your God. I am Yahweh. Wow, the Lord ties that together, doesn't He? Respect and reverence for God. Respect for people as God commands us to respect people, tied with reverence for God Himself. To disregard this command is to disregard the Lord Himself. 1 Timothy 5:1 says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. What do you hear there? Well, all the attitudes we've already talked about, but let me add another one. Respect flows from tenderness of heart. To honor, to respect, means I've got a heart that is tender, both to God, toward God and men. Sensitive to the commands of God, but as a result, sensitive to people. So that even if an older man is wrong, my heart is tender toward what is represented there. I don't rebuke him in a sharp fashion when I can encourage him like a son would. And even when it comes to my peers, right? My peers, how do I treat them? Like brothers. Younger women, they're like sisters. You should love your sisters. There's a tenderness of heart towards sisters. And older women, like you would a mother. There's a tenderness taught in the family of God. And it's interesting that when the Messiah arrives and hearts are transformed, so that there is genuine faith and genuine repentance from sin, what will that look like? Malachi 4:5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. I mean, where there's genuine faith, genuine repentance, it shows up in the family structures. It shows up between fathers and children, children and fathers. Love for children, respect for fathers, love for fathers. When you believe God, it shows up at home. Why does the Bible emphasize this the way that it does? Well, because it means respect for God. And it has to do with the entire well-being of society. And it has wrapped up in it a whole world of attitudes like humility and gratefulness and reverence and tenderness of heart. So as we look again at verse 11, ask yourself this question. What kind of behavior is being described? What does such a generation look like? There are those who curse their fathers, do not bless their mothers. What is he describing? Well, notice it involves not only what someone would do, curse their father, but what someone would not do. Bless their mother. That means it's not only the presence of something, but the absence of something. So what we're really hearing about here is first and foremost a matter of attitude. It's a matter of the heart. All honor always begins in the heart. Honor for your parents is first and foremost a heart attitude. so that the disobedience being described in verse 11, the sin being described, is a heart issue. So where it would begin is this. You hold your parents in your heart. You hold your parents in light regard. You just don't have any respect for them. You don't take respecting them seriously. You don't think of them in a way that would say that they deserve a weighty respect from you. And I've already said it, but again, this has to do first and foremost with respecting God. Over and over again, these attitudes are taught in such a way they're tied to our attitude toward God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mothers. This is the first commandment with a promise. Even when you learn respect in the marriage relationship, when wives are addressed, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's always tied to our attitude toward God. So this is a heart attitude. I hold my parents in my heart without the kind of respect that ought to be there. That then leads to speaking to one's parents with light regard. To curse your father would mean to dishonor him with your words, to disrespect him with your words, to defame him. Whether you're speaking to him or you're speaking about him, you would speak in such a way that would shame him. And to not bless your mother, you know, you can say a lot by what you don't say. So there is the opportunity to honor your parents, but you remain silent. There's the opportunity to convey something that would be a blessing toward your parents, but you clearly give the indication that's not where your heart is at, not only by what you say, but by what you refuse to say. And so the attitude begins to manifest itself where it always manifests itself first, and that is in the realm of our speech. But it never stays with just words, does it? When the heart is not right, then the speech is not right, and ultimately the behavior is not right. And so it begins to show up in disrespectful behavior toward our parents. Charles Bridges, in his commentary on these verses, wrote this: many are the forms in which this proud abomination shows itself. Resistance to a parent's authority, contempt of his reproof, shamelessly defiling his name, needlessly exposing his sin, coveting his substance, denying his obligation. Every village bears sad testimony to this crying sin that brings many a parent with sorrow to the grave and spreads anarchy throughout the whole land. Do you resist your parents' authority if you're a young person here tonight, still living at home under your parents' authority? Do you resist your parents' authority? Do you show contempt for the correction that your parents would offer to you? Do you shamelessly defile the name of your parents? Perhaps talking about them behind their backs to your peers? Do you needlessly expose the sin of your parents? Do you covet what your parents have more than you love them? Do you deny their obligations? That is, when they are attempting to do what God has charged them to do, in your case, with your life, you resist it, you refuse it, or you refuse to give to them what you're obligated to give them in terms of love and respect. Do you understand this is a great evil? Do you understand that's why under the old covenant it was worthy of death? And can you see how this is tied to your entire walk with God? So I want to finish tonight applying this by means of five quick questions. Hear these questions. Think about your own life. Think about your family. Let's think about our church and consider this together. First of all, do you see that how you regard your parents But let's broaden that out. How you regard age, both in the family and in the church, can you see that this is a window into whether or not you really fear the Lord? I mean, at the end of the day, this is really a simple matter of believing God, hearing His Word and believing Him. So your fear of the Lord is on display by your attitudes toward your parents specifically, but also just in general terms, as God commands in other places, just the kind of respect that ought to be given to the aged. This has to do with your fear of God. I'm asking the adults in the room, do you honor your parents? Young people, do you honor your parents? Do you obey them in the case of children? Second question, this is to the adults in the room. Can you see how the way you treat your parents is a testimony? Either an evil one or a good one toward your children. In other words, it's always amazed me how parents will be surprised by the disrespect shown by their children toward them when the adults in the instance have not properly cared for their parents. The attitudes that your children hear from you toward your parents are going to be an instructive force in their lives about the attitudes they're to show you according to the Word of God. I wonder, are your children growing up in a home where they see what it means to really honor your parents? Are you teaching them not just by word, but by example, what that means? Third, I would ask you this. Do you see that this is not only true in a family, this is true in churches? How many churches have thrown away their older people in the name of accomplishing something in ministry? Things to do, things we need to do to reach people, things we need to do to grow the ministry. And so, it doesn't really matter what the old people think. I wonder, can we take that attitude? Now, I'm going to give a balancing caution here in just a moment. I'm just talking about the attitude. You know, older people, they've been bypassed. What they think really doesn't matter. What they've experienced really has no weight with us. I wonder, can we take that attitude in so many churches and say that in any way finds an affirmation from God's Word? Is that the right attitude? Now, here's my balancing caution. Age is not inerrant. And can we be honest, those of us who are older? How many older people have actually stood in the way of good things in ministry just because they are inflexible? Age is not inerrant. And so we have to be learners for the entirety of our lives. I'm not talking about, you know this, I don't even have to say this, but I'm going to say it. We're not talking about violating Scripture. We're talking about things that are matters of preference. And either we can grow and we can progress and we can do things better, or we're just stuck where we've always been because this is the way we've always done it. Can that attitude be squared with Scripture either? I mean, this is what we're going to do because this is the way we've always done it. In a healthy church, there's great respect for the aged. In a healthy church, there's great respect for age and experience. But at the same time, in a healthy church, you have older people with very young ambitions and visions when it comes to ministry. We are not done until we're face to face with our Savior. And so we go on serving for the whole of our lives, and we desire to see greater things accomplished for the sake of the kingdom of God this year than we saw last year. And Lord, Our comfortableness, what we're used to is not nearly as important. It's not important at all compared with what would you have us to do? Finally, I would ask you this. Can you see how the culture is putting pressure on you when it comes to all these attitudes? There's a generation, you see, there's a generation who curse their fathers, who don't bless their mothers. There's a generation. Well, what are you going to do if you live in such a generation? How are you going to be rescued from such attitudes? How are you going to be kept from being pushed into the world's mold? You know the answer. The only answer is salvation in Jesus Christ and then a mind that is submitted to the words of God. A mind and a heart that reverences the Lord, that hears His words and believes them and obeys them. So that we shine as God's lights in a world full of disrespect and dishonor and ungratefulness and forgetfulness of what our parents have done for us in the past, in a world full of all of those dishonoring, wicked attitudes, we shine as a people who do not curse our fathers and we bless our mothers. We honor our parents for a lifetime. And in that way, we show God's good work of salvation in our souls. So that finally, I would ask you, wherever you've been sinning in these areas, would you begin to obey God right now? If there are children listening to me and you've been dishonoring your parents, you've been disobeying your parents, would you tonight recognize that this is giving some insight into where your heart is at? Perhaps you've never been saved. Perhaps you don't have eternal life. I mean, that's one possible explanation. Would you examine your life and ask, Lord, have you saved me? Do I have a heart that desires to obey your word and obey my parents and honor my parents? Or it identifies a need in the life of a Christian to stop being pushed into the world's mold and to turn from it, to repent and begin to obey God in these areas. Is there a young person hearing me tonight that you need to turn from your sin of dishonoring your parents and disrespecting them and chafing at their authority, and you need to listen to the words of God? And is there an adult listening to me? As we've talked about these things tonight, your parents have come to your mind, and I just wonder, when is the last time you blessed their name? When is the last time you said to your father or your mother, I thank God for you. This is how you have blessed me. This is what, in God's good, gracious purpose for my life, this is what you have meant to me. And I bless the Lord over you. I give Him thanks. Are you caring for your parents in the financial realm? Do they need help? Do you just watch them struggle? Do you care for them in the physical realm? Are they sick? Are they lonely? Do you call them? Do you encourage them? Do you care for them? You see, I want us to recognize we honor the Lord when we honor our parents because He is the one who's commanded us to do it. Let's pray. Lord, Your word is so practical and simple and at the same time penetrating and revealing. All of our sin issues, our heart issues. And so I just pray that as we take account of what we've seen in Your word tonight, we would be willing to recognize where our hearts are wandering, where our hearts have gone astray. That we would look to Your Son and we would heed His word. And in a way that is dependent and yet filled with effort, we would obey these commands You've given us regarding how we are to regard our parents. Lord, may this be a church where there is respect in our homes. May this be a church where there's respect for older people. And may this at the same time be a church where the older ones are young in our zeal for ministry and in our desire to see You do much in these days in and through our lives. We'll bless Your name for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.